listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, for decades now, pro-choice Roman Catholic politicians at every level, but for the most part at the national level, have tried to give the distinct impression that when it comes to issues like abortion or, more lately, marriage, when it comes to those issues, those are open questions for devout Catholics. I'm a devout Catholic, but they will legislate against the unborn and against natural marriage. And they say there's no conflict there. Is there? And what kind of damage is done when bishops and priests in the Catholic Church give the Eucharist to Catholic politicians who adamantly oppose the moral law on abortion and marriage? When they refuse to do so, are those priests and bishops being political? Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, December the 14th, we're going to talk about Holy Communion scandal and pro-choice Catholic politicians. Archbishop Charles Chaput joins us. He's Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia. He is author of the book Strangers in a Strange Land, a forthcoming publication, Things Worth Dying For, and a recent column for First Things titled Mr. Biden and the Matter of Scandal. Archbishop Chaput, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I'm honored to be asked to be a part of your program.
How do you respond to someone who says that when the church refuses communion to a Roman Catholic politician who persistently opposes the moral law on abortion or marriage, that the church is being political?
Well, the church is being political in the sense that almost everything you say about moral issues has political ramifications today. And, you know, those arguments are generally, those kind of statements are generally said to throw you off center so that you won't continue the line of discussion and make you apologize. But there's nothing wrong with Christians being involved politically. It's our duty to try to do what we can to make sure the world is a place that serves a common good and supports the dignity of every individual. So I'm always encouraging our Catholic people to be political and not to be thrown off center or throw off course when people say something like that. You know, whether it's smoking or driving motorcycles or just anything at all we do, there are political ramifications to it, especially true when it comes to moral laws that are challenged by the spirit of our culture today. You know, issues around life and marriage and sexuality, all of that has political ramifications, mostly because the side who opposes, where the church has traditionally stood on these issues, has tried to oppose the church with political means, you know, by passing laws that allow for same-sex marriage or prevent abortion and the like. So it's no wonder these issues have become, quote, political, because really the people who oppose the teachings of Christ have made it so.
Many Catholic politicians who oppose the church's teachings on life and marriage like to give the impression that this is an open question for Roman Catholics. Is that true?
I can't understand how they could think that. And anybody who really knows what the Catholic Church teaches and has taught through the centuries know that can't possibly be true. The church is very clearly opposed to abortion at any stage, from the moment of conception through birth and into our lives. And the church has always understood marriage to be a relationship between one man and one woman that's supposed to be faithful for the whole of a lifetime. So for people to say that these are evolving issues or not what the church teaches, it's what they think, maybe. It's what they hope for, probably, but it isn't true.
In your First Things piece, you stand for the refusal of communion to politicians who oppose the church teachings, but you do say that at sometimes, refusal to commune is not the best pastoral solution. Why do you say that?
Well, for example, if in our church we have lay people who are considered called extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, they might see a politician coming up the aisle and may not be sure if the person's really who they think it is, but would refuse communion in a public way without talking to the person first. That can be a source of awkwardness and sometimes error and public scandal in itself. Also, I think we all know that politicians who aren't very serious about their faith can sometimes take a public refusal to receive Holy Communion as a badge of honor for themselves and make the church seem to be an oppressor and rejoice in the fact that they've been asked not to receive Holy Communion. Just to build on that a bit, the reason why the Catholic Church doesn't excommunicate people so much anymore is because excommunication was historically seen as a means of bringing people back to Christ and to the church, and to make them aware that they're standing outside and they need to come back. It isn't effective anymore. So I think that rather than make it a big public issue when someone's coming up the aisle to receive Holy Communion, it's best for the bishop or the priest to talk to the person personally first, tell them that they can't receive Holy Communion if they persist in their error. And then if they would be persistent and still insist on doing it, I think it would be fine to publicly refuse them Holy Communion. But there are steps that you should take pastorally to try to draw people back before going to the extreme of telling them they're not able to receive Holy Communion.
If you would, walk us through the Catholic Church's reasoning in refusing communion to a Catholic politician who publicly defies the Church's teaching.
Well, at its core, it goes back to the Scriptures. In St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, I think it's chapter 11, St. Paul talks about the importance of examining our conscience before receiving the body or blood of Christ. And there's been a long tradition in the Roman Catholic Church about this, about examining your conscience, going to confession and the like. And we're told that it's a sacrilege, which is a sin against the sacred, to receive Holy Communion in a state of serious sin, or if you don't really believe, or if you stand against what the Church believes. Because we think that when we receive Holy Communion, we're not only receiving the body and blood of Christ, but we're publicly stating that we're in communion with Jesus and his teachings. And in the Catholic Church, we believe we're saying we receive communion. We're in communion with the Church and her teachings. So if someone isn't in communion with the Church and her teachings, either because they don't believe or because they have lived a life of serious sin, then it's hypocrisy to receive Holy Communion, and we consider it a sacrilege. It just makes sense. You know, you don't pretend to believe in something you don't believe in. And it seems to me that politicians who take positions against the Church on the serious issues, you know, like life and the meaning of marriage, if they take positions encouraging contrary actions, they really are hypocrites if they receive Holy Communion. They're pretending to be something they're not. And I think that priests and bishops who don't say something about this are just adding to the scandal that's involved. You know, scandal means, it comes from a Greek word that means a stumbling stone. So if someone is scandalizing someone, it means they're a stumbling stone to their faith. And so politicians who take positions against the intrinsically immoral issues that we're talking about, they are a stumbling stone to people. They're encouraging other Catholics or other Christians to take the same position, contrary to the teachings of Christ. And because of that scandal, if the Church doesn't act, it's not doing what it should to keep people from falling into error or into sin. And for bishops to kind of turn their head and smile when something like this is going on is also a big scandal. You know, it's very difficult for church leaders to take positions where, that are not popular today, where they could be considered publicly chastising political figures. And, you know, the press is always after bishops to do those kind of things. I have a lot of experience with that. So, you know, it's easier for us just to ignore the situation and not say anything. But if we do that, we're getting a scandal because we're indicating by our inaction that this isn't all that important.
Archbishop Charles Chaput is our guest. He's Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia. We're talking about Holy Communion, scandal, and pro-choice Catholic politicians. Speaking of a pro-choice Catholic politician, is there any question about where President-elect Biden stands on abortion or marriage? Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred Music for the Advent Season. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Holy Communion scandal and pro-choice Catholic politicians with Archbishop Charles Chaput. He's Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia. Our office manager, Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, informed us this morning that we're currently $95,000 short of 2020 expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting Issues Etc. at the end of the year. Archbishop Chaput, is there any question about where President-elect Biden stands on abortion and marriage?
Honestly, anyone could doubt where he stands on those issues. Although, you know, I must say I've received several emails about that column that we're talking about that I wrote, where a Catholic said that Joe Biden doesn't really believe in abortion or only in limited circumstances. I mean, he's the most pro-abortion candidate for president we've had. He favors abortion up to the moment of birth. He personally, when he was vice president, witnessed a marriage of two male staffers in his office because he had the authority to witness marriages as vice president, I guess. So, I mean, he even bragged that he led the way to President Obama changing his position on gay marriage and public policy. So, you know, with all that in mind, it's very clear that Joe Biden does not stand with his church on the issue of abortion or the issue of marriage. And he may say that he's personally against abortion, but he certainly hasn't acted that way. And I think he's promised to reinstate policy positions after he's installed as president to allow foreign aid money to be used for abortion and the like. So there's no doubt about it.
You say that a bishop or a priest who refuses communion to such a Roman Catholic politician is not passing judgment. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're told by the Lord Jesus not to judge others, and that means we can't know another person's heart or mind or soul. And God alone has the right to make that kind of judgment. But we do have the duty to make judgments about policy, about what we do. You know, I don't know if Joe Biden is sinning by any of this, although it seems to me that he certainly has given up his Catholic faith to be elected. But I don't know if he's personally done anything sinful, you know, in terms of his own conscience. But I know he's acting in a way contrary to what the church teaches. And it's the duty of a bishop or a priest or pastor in our church community to make those decisions about people's actions, not about their soul. So we're not judging his soul, but we're judging that his actions are not in line with or in communion in this matter with what our church teaches.
What kind of damage is done when bishops or priests give the Eucharist to Catholic politicians who persistently oppose the moral law?
Well, they scandalize the faithful. They teach them by that action that it doesn't matter where you are in terms of your moral judgments and actions when it comes to receiving communion. You know, and so I think it's you know, bishops give scandal by not doing things sometimes rather than by what they do. And the Lord requires that we always, as clearly as possible, proclaim the truth as the Lord has given that gift to us.
Finally, President-elect Biden regularly attends Mass and, I assume, in attendance, receives the Eucharist. What would you say to the priests or bishops who continue to commune him?
Well, I'm not a bishop in charge of a diocese now, and I'm not in charge of Washington, D.C., or I'm not in charge of the Diocese of Wilmington, Delaware, where President-elect Biden actually lives. So I'm not in a position to tell those priests what to do, but I can tell them that it certainly is a source of scandal if we don't say or do anything. And it seems to be the minimum that they have an obligation to do is very clearly and loudly talk about this issue, even if they don't mention the president-elect by name, but to talk about the principles that are involved and that it's the duty of Catholics to examine their conscience and decide not to receive Holy Communion if their actions stand in the way of what communion actually means, which again is union with what the Church teaches. So I think it's minimal that you talk about the issues. Maximally, it means that if you have an opportunity, you have to talk to the Vice President-elect personally and tell him that it's not appropriate for him to receive Holy Communion and hope that he comes to the conclusion that he's not going to do that then. And then if he's persistent in receiving Holy Communion, it seems to me that you eventually tell him that if he comes to you, you're going to give him a blessing, but not give him the Eucharist.
Archbishop Charles Chaput is Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia. He's author of the book Strangers in a Strange Land, a forthcoming publication, Things Worth Dying For, and a recent column for First Things titled Mr. Biden and the Matter of Scandal. You'll find a link to this column and to his books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Archbishop Chaput, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the building of the tabernacle. We'll also begin a series on suffering and pastoral care with Dr. Gregory Scholes. We'll also respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.